Good morning.
Good morning.
How is my family doing today? You sure? This morning I'm blessed to be here, and I'm looking forward to spending time in God's Word with you. I'm sure, as I have been, you'll be blessed by this Word, seeing Paul on his journey to Rome. So if you turn with me, I'm on Wednesday, Acts chapter 27. We won't be jumping around a lot today. It's a long chapter and a lot of substance. So I will advise that you just simply get out your notebook or a piece of paper with a pen. If you don't have one, reach over to the next person next to you and take theirs. The Bible said it's better to give than to receive. So, take. Acts chapter 27. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we are here as a family, enjoying fellowship, enjoying worship, enjoying your presence. And Lord, how we look forward to, Lord, even as we sang in the song, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we look forward to seeing you face to face. So, Lord, we cry out to you, come and rescue us. Take us up into your kingdom where there will be no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more dying. Lord, but you will be there and you will be our great reward. So Lord, as we are here in the meantime, we pray that you will just fill us with your presence, that we will know that you're with us, Lord, and that you will guide us with your word, where you would have us to go. So, Lord, bless our time in the reading of your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The title of this Bible study, and you know it's rare that I do this, is How to Survive a Storm. How to Survive a Storm. Now, we all go through storms in life. If you are alive and you have a heartbeat and a pulse, you will go through difficult times. Our Lord Jesus, he made a promise. He said that the rain will fall on the just and the unjust. No one is exempt from storms. Now, with that said, I think all of us would want to say and will really like for us to live a life with no storms, that we could be exempt from storms. But I've heard this one quote. It said, okay, a life with endless sunshine makes for endless desert. Now, if you meditate on that, if we had all sunshine and no rain, no storms, then we'll just be living a life in a desert. And so, I believe the Lord will allow us to go through some storms in life. Now, there are different types of storms that we'll go through. There are some storms, well, God will use storms to direct us. And God will use storms to correct us. And sometimes he uses storms to perfect us. He directs us, he corrects us, and he perfects us. The question becomes, how do we prepare for storms? You know, every year we're in Florida, we hear about hurricane season, and they say, be prepared. And guess what? You still don't get prepared. And when you get hit with a storm, you say, whoa, why is this happening to me, God? Well, listen, the storms of life, while they will come and we can't avoid them, we can be prepared. We can prepare so that we're not surprised. And so if you are caught in a storm, you did not get prepared, well, listen, this chapter will show you how to survive a storm. If you are in Acts chapter 27, I'm picking up in the first verse. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regimen. So entering a ship of Adramyttium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. Now, before we go any further, again, let me just bring you back up to speed. Paul was, again, a prisoner. He was being sent to Rome, hopefully, to share his testimony with the king over there of Rome. And so he is on this way. He is put on a ship with along with other prisoner. And if you notice in the script here, it says that we, the word we appears there. So it appears that also we had Dr. Luke on the ship with them. Now, in verse 3, and the next day we launched at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. So Paul received favor from this centurion. Again, he's a prisoner, but here he is receiving favor. Now, I just want to pause here and just make this one quick mention. In my personal prayer, I usually pray for God's favor. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, favor is better than silver and gold. In other words, if you go somewhere and God has given you favor, you don't need any money. The doors will be open. And so that's something I pray, and I encourage you to pray the same. Lord, give me favor wherever I go with man. In verse 4, when we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Thessalia, and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There, the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. And so when he had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the winds not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salamon. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Haven near the city of Lycia. So as they sailed this sea, they began to feel the opposition of the wind. The wind is, as it says, is against them. It was working against them. And in the same way, when we are going through life, the wind often will be against us. It prevents us from going fast, from going forward. Now, in some cases, the winds of life, they are working against us. And sometimes, well, it's a warning. And that's sometimes God will use wind, or he will use circumstances to prevent you from going forward. It's a warning. But there's other times when Satan will use the winds not to warn you, but to destroy you. And so the question becomes, when you're facing wind, when you're facing opposition, is it God or is it the devil? Well, his little demons, you know? Well, who is it? How can you tell? Well, consider the opposing winds to be like a traffic light. Do you know that most accidents happen under the traffic lights? It's not on I-95 or I-10. Most of accidents happen right under those lights. Well, why? Well, you see, some people ignore the traffic signals. A week ago, I was sitting at the light, and my mind was in a different place. It was a red light, and all of a sudden, I pressed the gas, and I'm gone. And everyone in their cars are looking at me like I'm crazy. Listen, I ignored the lights. I didn't do it on purpose, but thank God another car wasn't coming around the corner. Some people ignore the lights. Some people get confused at the lights. What does the signal say? You see, some people, when they look at the lights, red means stop, green means go, and yellow means go faster. How many of you are guilty of that? Here comes the light. Ah! Have you ever approached a light when it turned yellow? When you know you're going too slow to catch it, but too fast to stop. And you're thinking, what do I do? Listen, if you slow down, if you stop, you're thinking, man, I'm going to be late. And so you speed up. And if you do that, listen, there's a great chance that you're going to get either a ticket or even worse, get in an accident. But we take the risk. Why? Well, we want to get ahead. You see, I remember following this guy, and we were approaching a light. I had no idea who this guy was, but I was behind him, and he decided to run a yellow light, and the person in the turning lane also decided to run the yellow light. And so right under the light, bam, and in that back seat of the car was a little boy, and his head hit the side windows, and now his dad grabs him, and blood is all over the place. You see, I that terrified me. It made me respect the lights. And so in the same way, again, yellow lights, it doesn't mean that you should run or go faster. It actually is a warning. Hey, you probably need to slow down. You probably need to stop. See, the red light, the green light, well, the yellow light is just as important as those. In the same way, when God gives us wind, when a wind of opposition, listen, is not to go faster. It's for us to say, you know what? What is the Lord? Is it the Lord that's slowing me down? Is he trying to speak to me and direct me with this wind? You see, as they were sailing in this ship and the wind came against them, notice in verse 8, they came to a place called Fair Haven. The word haven means a refuge. In other words, when the wind and the opposition comes, is a time for us to seek the Lord and seek refuge. Lord, what are you doing? Are you guiding me? Are you slowing me down? Are you making me aware of something that's going to happen that you want me to avoid? So we are to seek refuge. But here's the deal. This place that they stopped, Fair Haven, well, it was on the south side of the island. And so therefore, if you know anything about the south side of an island, is usually the roughest place. It's not a place to really seek refuge. The wind will come, the waves will come, and if you have your ship tied there, there's a chance that you're going to lose it. And so here they are, these 200-plus people on this ship, and they're thinking, should we stay here in this little Fair Haven, this little town, kind of like a Middleburg? No one, you know, nothing good there, you know. You got to stay there for 3 months. Or should we risk? Should we go for a refuge in another place where it will be more fun, where it will be more opportunity, where it will be more safe? That's the decision that they had to make. And let's see, what will they do? Will they stay? Will they go? Well, in verse 9, now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over. Listen, the fast is what they did during the time of October. And so that means that this time was just the worst time to go sailing. And so the second half of verse 9, Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end in disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete opening towards the southwest and northwest, and winter there. So Paul, noticing the wind, noticing, well, I'm sure he had a time to spend in prayer as they harbor in that haven place. I'm sure he had a time to seek the Lord. And as he was there, he's thinking, let me warn these guys. Let me warn them, do not go forward because disaster awaits. You see, the Lord loves all of us. And whenever we're going to make a disastrous decision, he will always, listen, always warn us. And it might be, for some of us, it might be right here at a Bible study. You're probably making a decision or thinking of making a decision, and this Bible study could be that warning. Don't do it. Don't go forward. Or the Lord might use, some pastor to speak to you or some person to counsel you. He might use your mom, your dad, a brother or a sister. And those, listen, are warnings. Don't do it. Don't go forward. But notice it said that the captain and the owner of the ship, they said, let's go forward. Who do you listen to? You're the centurion. Do you listen to this prisoner, Paul the preacher? Or do you listen to a professional sailor and the boat owner? Oh, they're the professionals. Who do you listen to? You know, sadly, often we will go to the professional. We will forsake the word or the warning from the Lord, and we will go to the professional, seeing what Dr. Phil has to say, or some self-help book, instead of saying, you know what, let me rely on the prophetic word of God. Notice that not only did they listen to the boat owner and the captain, but also the majority said, let's go. You see, the majority of the people on the boat, they're thinking, we don't want to stay in this little town. We want to go where there's opportunity. If we stay here, we're going to be way behind. Let's push forward. And instead, well, they ignored the word, the warning from Paul. See, little did they know, this Paul, this prisoner, this preacher, well, he himself had been through 3 shipwrecks already. So he was a man of experience. But, oh, the preacher don't know anything. Oh, you know, the Christian don't know anything. Let me go with what the psychologists say. Let me go with what the professionals say. And so verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. Now, here is where it gets really confusing. Here it was, a wind was blowing against them. It was slowing them down. Should we go forward? Well, I don't know. Well, maybe we should, because, hey, listen, now there's a calm. There's a cool breeze that's going to help them along. Now, you see, whenever there's smooth sailing, oftentimes we'll say, man, it's the Lord. The Lord is opening up the door. Now, I know I'm just really confusing you now. Is it God or is it the devil, you know? Well, understand this. There's usually a calm before the storm. And if you're in a storm, there usually is a storm eye, and it's really calm in there as well. But it doesn't mean that danger is not awaiting. So when the storm is approaching, there's a calm. And again, people have this impression, well, let's go for it. Let's go for the relationship. Everything is working good. She loves me, man. You know? It's that business deal. Let's go for it. It's that investment. Let's do it. How many of you have fell for that during the housing market boom? Take out the equity. It's great, man. You can't lose.
I'm still paying for it.
Well, you all had the warning, didn't you? I had the warning. I made that mistake. I had the word of God, and I gave into it, and how I regret. So here's where most people go wrong. They forsake the warnings of God, and they go for what the world is saying. You know, this is why I always tell people, when they're making a hard decision, make sure that you have the word of God, that you're standing on his word. You know why? Because if you're in a storm, you have to go back to something. You have to go back to God's word, where if he says, go for it, then you know that you're going to make it through. But if you're making a bad decision in that storm, as we will see, you will often jump from ship to ship. Oh, let's try this. Let's do this. And you will never find your way out of that storm. And so verse 14, but not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euryclydon. That is a hurricane. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. So here it is that they no longer had this gentle wind. Now they have a hurricane. They're caught up. You see, they had lost control. And how often do Satan do that to us? He will say, look, man, go for it. You can't lose. You can't go wrong. And you feel like you're in control. And before you know it, the wind sweeps you away. And you're thinking, how did I get here? How did I get in this relationship? How did I get in this financial problem? How did I get here? Satan is a master of deception. And if you're not careful, you're going to be caught in the storms. And as they are now driven by these fierce winds. But let me say this. If you are in a storm, there is hope. His name is Jesus Christ. But you have to listen to him and you have to follow his instruction. Even as Paul, we will see, will give these guys instructions. So verse 16, I'm running under the shelter of an island called Clauda. We secured the skiff, with difficulty. The skiff is what some refer to as a dinghy. It's a small little boat that is pulled along the back of a ship, of a bigger ship. It's a lifeboat in a sense. But for illustration purpose, this skiff, it represents Plan B. You know, when you're heading into a storm, well, let me carry a Plan B with me. Just in case things get rough, I can, well, if it's not working, I'll file for bankruptcy. If it's not working, then I'll file for a divorce. If it's not working, well, I'll quit my job. It's that Plan B. You see, if you have God's word, there's no need for a Plan B. If you have his direction, there is no need for a Plan B, because why? He will see you through no matter how bad things get. And so verse 17, and when they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on Skirtis sand, they struck sail and so were driven. So I want to look at six things that's important for us to remember if we are planning to survive the storms of life. We see the first one here in verse 17. They girded the ship. They tied it up. In other words, they strengthened what they had. They strengthened what they had. In other words, what's true? What do you have? The thing that you have is true. You know, during a storm is not a time to start building a ship. You don't go out in the middle of a storm and say, well, let me build a new ship. No, what you have, you secure. You make it strong. You secure it. And so in the same way, find ways to strengthen what you have. What do you have? Well, that's a time that you have to do an evaluation. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And then listen, verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, the scripture says that we are to go to what is true, what we know is to be true. You see, when you're in the middle of a storm, the enemy will come along and he will throw all kinds of decoys and baits trying to confuse you and try to get you to go after things that are not true. We are to gird up what we have. When you're going through a storm, listen, think back to those sermons. Think back to this one. Think back to those that you have heard. As Paul would say, the scriptures you have learned and the principles you've received. Those things is what we are to go back to. So if you're going through a marriage storm, listen, strengthen what you have and not focus on what you don't. And oftentimes I see couples who say, well, I don't have this and I don't have that. Well, focus on what you have. If you're going through a health storm, strengthen your faith in God. Is what he can do for you. Focus on those things. What can God do? Well, he is God. He can do anything. So focus on that. Financial storms, start practicing biblical stewardship. Oftentimes we're in a position of bad, of facing bankruptcy. Why? Because we have been spending. And of course, this is Memorial Day, so you're broke, but you're still going to spend on the sales. Listen, secure what you have. Go back to the Word of God. Verse 18, and because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. So here's what you're going to do, what you need to do if you're going to survive the storm. The second thing, lighten the ship. Lighten the ship. It is hard to steer a ship, a big ship, with a whole lot of luggage or baggage inside. And so what they had to do is lighten it. Throw things that are really not necessary. Throw them overboard. You see, when we are going through a storm, I think we are to evaluate our life. And if there is bitterness in us, well, we need to get rid of bitterness. If there's unforgiveness, get rid of that. Toss that overboard. If there's hatred, if there's unhealthy relationships, some of us are flirting with the other person that you know you're not supposed to flirt with. If you're unequally yoked, toss them overboard. Get rid of them. Some of us are eating unhealthy, and we're saying, God, why don't you heal me? Well, eat healthy. Some of us are in debt, again, buying things that we don't really need. Toss those things overboard. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Lay them aside. Throw them overboard. You know, not every weight is sin. Do you realize that? In other words, you can do something. You can be doing something, or you could have something, and it's not sinful, but it's a weight, and it's preventing you from going forward. It's preventing you from having a good sale. And so here's where I believe in this second illustration here. I believe this is where God is doing his correcting and perfecting in our lives, where we are throwing things overboard. In verse 20 now, when neither sun nor star appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and have not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. Paul is now, after a while, Paul now gets involved and says, listen, guys, you should have listened to me. Do you know if it's one thing I hate is when my wife said, Alan, you should have listened to me. I don't like it. I don't want to be lectured. I know I was wrong. You don't tell me. Don't remind me. I don't want to hear it. But listen, I need to hear it. Why? Because it prevents me from going and making the same mistake down the road. Let's make sure that we seek the Lord. Let's make sure we pray and we have his direction before we go and do something else and live to regret it. Paul said, you should have listened to me. He goes on in verse 22, and now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, We must run aground on a certain island. If you're going to survive the storm, listen, number three, you must take heart. A newer translation puts it, keep up your courage. The worst thing you can do in a storm, no matter what it is to give up hope. To give up hope is to say that there is no God, that God is not able to deliver you, to save you. Whenever I'm counseling or speaking to someone who's going through a rough time, I spend time giving them hope. I spend time reminding them of who God is, why hope is so important. And again, I want to say this, hope is not wishful thinking. It's not, oh, you know, God is going to take care of you. No, it's not that. I'm giving you hope. I'm bringing you back to Him where you can go in His Word. Because why? The Bible said faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So our hope is not built on wishful thinking. It's built on something solid, who is Christ our Lord. And so we need to go back to Christ. We need to have our hope in Him and trust in Him and hold on to Him. Faith is the ability to look past our circumstances and see God at work. That is hope. And so Paul, notice he did not just give them hope, but he did warn that there is going to be a loss. The ship will be lost. The lives won't be lost, but the ship won't be lost. And why is this important? Well, you see, again, wishful thinking. Well, we don't want to give people false hope. The reality is if we make bad decisions, there's going to be consequence. It's just like I've said before, you can choose the sin, but you can't choose the consequence. And so as they're tossed around in the sea, there is going to be consequence. But listen, God loves us, and He's going to use the storm to build us up. But there's certain things that we must go through. Verse 27, now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some island. Now, let me just say this. There's always going to be an end to a storm. And in verse 28, now he says, and they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. That is about 120 feet. And when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms, which is about 90 feet. So they're getting closer to land. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rock, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for the day to come. If you're going to survive a storm, this is number 4, prepare to anchor. Prepare to anchor. When you're on a ship and you're being tossed back and forth, it's because you're not anchored to something that's solid. And so as these guys are trying to find a place to anchor, they get close to the shore, and now they're throwing the anchors over so that they can be secure. In the same way, most of us, a lot of times, we're being tossed back and forth because we're not anchored. What are we to be anchored to? Well, again, it's the Word of God. The Word of God is the anchor for our soul. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine. We shouldn't be tossed here and there. And oftentimes when people are in a storm, they're running over to Sally. Sally, what do you think I should do? Oh, you should do this. Okay, I'll do this. And then they meet Joe, and Joe said, well, you should do this over here. And what are they doing? They're going all over the place. They're not grounded. They're not anchored to anything. And that's why, again, the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, he says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. The things we have heard in God's word, that's where we are to anchor our soul. That's where we are to anchor our lives, our decisions. I love the way that the scripture says, give more earnest heed. In other words, you messed up, you made a bad decision, but it doesn't have to be like that always. Listen more carefully to the scriptures. Get direction from the Lord. In verse 30 now, and it was as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea on the pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the rope of the skiff and let it fall off. So they were about to jump. Now, again, there's 276 people on this boat. Now, what will happen if five people go in that boat, say, "Hey, we're going, bye-bye." You know what's going to happen? All 276 will be jumping on that boat, and they will all die. So Paul said, don't go. Don't jump off into this little boat. You're going to die. And oftentimes, people in the middle of a storm, again, they make these decisions out of fear. You cannot think clearly if you're living in fear. So here's what Paul says. If you're going to survive the storm, you must stay on the ship. Again, you must stay on the ship. Why? Well, there are three ships that we need to stay on. If you're taking note, the first ship is discipleship. In other words, when you're going through a storm, listen, you're still a disciple of Christ, and he still is your Lord, and so therefore, he wants to teach you some lessons. So remain teachable in the storm. Don't go out and try to make things on your own or make your own decisions. Lord, I'm still your disciple. Speak to me. Discipleship. The second ship is fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship is what we do. We hang out. We talk to each other. And listen, we encourage each other. What is Paul doing to these guys? He's encouraging them. And how important it is for us to encourage one another, especially when we're going through a difficult time. But if you isolate yourself, if you say, "Man, I just don't feel like talking to people," guess what? You're going to go out and you're going to make bad decisions on top of the bad decision you have already made. And so, therefore, fellowship is important. And the third ship that we should stay on is worship. Worship. You see, worship, it brings the presence of God in our lives, and it gives us a better perspective. So, when you worship, the Bible says you're inviting God in your situation. Don't just worship when things are good. Worship even when things are hard. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. And so, yes, you don't feel like it, but feeling have nothing to do with worship. You're worshiping because you think God is worth it. Even through my storms, Lord, you're worth it. And you're inviting God in your presence. And so not only are you inviting him, but also you're having a better perspective. When you're worshiping God, you're magnifying him, and you're seeing how big your God is. God, you're able to. I know you can. And so therefore, it gives you more hope. So stay on the ship of discipleship, fellowship, and worship, and don't abandon what you do know for what you don't. He goes on in verse 33, and as the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, "Today is the 14th day you have waited and continue without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is what you this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from your head, the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it and began to eat, then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. If you're going to survive the storm, number six, take nourishment. As Paul said, take nourishment. Going through a storm, oftentimes you're going to lose your appetite. And spiritually speaking, you're going to lose your appetite for the word. You're not going to want to eat. Read your Bible, Alan. Oh, I'm just worried of what's going to do. What am I going to do here and there? What am I going to do? I'm too busy worrying. You can't worry if you're worshiping and if you're in the word. You can't worry because why? You're magnifying God, but then again, you're getting in his word. I think we all should know this saying, 7 days with no word make 1 week, W-E-A-K. If you're going around and you're not getting nourishment for your spirit, man, your soul, you're going to become weak and you're not going to be able to stand in the storm. Paul encouraged them, make sure that you're being nourished. And again, the nourishment still comes back to these same ships, the discipleship, the fellowship and the worship. You get nourishment in those things. You know, when you look at a storm and you see the effects that it have a way of blowing down things and destroying things that are not, again, grounded and rooted. And for us, we are, as the Bible teaches us, that, well, we should be like a tree planted by the river. You ever notice those big oak trees where it's surrounded by oak trees? And I remember a number of years ago, I went through a hurricane, and there was a big oak tree behind my house. And if you try to bend one of the limbs, you won't succeed in just even moving it. But in the storm, it was being tossed back and forth, and the branches were even touching the ground, but it was not breaking. You see, so it is with us who are grounded in God's word. When the wind comes, it's not time to get up and go somewhere else. Well, I'm going to do this and go here. But listen, it's get rooted in God's word. Go deeper so when the winds come, you won't be tossed over and tumbled down. You won't fall. Be like that oak tree, as deep, as rooted in God's word. Verse 39, and when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchor and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosened the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion waited, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some of the on board and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. So just as they were about to kill these prisoners, of course, the centurion said, don't do that. You see, the Lord Jesus has saved all of these men just as he promised. Again, just as he promised. How do we know what he promised? Well, we have to get in his word to know what his promises are. And if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And he made this promise to Paul, and he kept his word. You see, when you're going through a storm, you feel like giving up hope. You feel like all is going to be lost. But again, we have to go back to God, what God's word says, what he promised. And it doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter how great the winds are, the waves. It doesn't matter. Just find yourself going back to the word of God. Find yourself drawing strength from him and his word, and in worship and in fellowship. Doing these things, we are to continue. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. But listen, verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Listen, when you're going in a, you're in a storm, do not be wise. It was your wisdom oftentimes that got you there. Don't use your wisdom because it will keep you there. Trust the Lord. He will take care of you. He will deliver you. Yes, it's hard, but get encouragement. You can do it. Why? Because the Lord is with you. I will close with these reminders. In the ship of Jesus, there is healing. In the ship of Jesus, there is peace. In the ship of Jesus, there is joy. In the ship of Jesus, there is blessing. In the ship of Jesus, there is deliverance. In the ship of Jesus, there is love. In the ship of Jesus, there is eternal life. In the ship of Jesus, there is abundant life. And in the ship of Jesus, there is salvation. Let's stay in fellowship with the Lord, even in our storms. Amen? And Lord, we thank you. Oh, we do have a relationship with you, Lord, that no matter how things look, no matter how fearful things may seem or get, Lord, I'm reminded of those disciples as they were in the ship, and it was being tossed back and forth. But Lord, you were in the ship with them. Even though you were sleeping, Lord, you were very much in control. And so, Lord, if there's anyone here going through a difficult time, which I know they are, if not all, but most of us, Lord, it's a good thing for us to know, Lord, that you are with us in that ship. And there's nothing that the enemy can do and throw at us, Lord, that you haven't already given him permission to do. And if you have given him permission, Lord, we know that you're using it to strengthen us and to direct us and to guide us. So thank you, Lord, that you're with us. Lord, I pray that you will increase our faith. Give us hope, Lord, that we will not give up, that we will not turn to our own understanding, Lord, but that we will continue to trust in you. So thank you, Lord, for the encouragement of your word. I pray that you bless each person that is here, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.